Wolbachia is the most prevalent intracellular infection on Earth that you've never heard of.
That's Irene Newton, assistant professor of biology at Indiana University Bloomington, describing the Wolbachia bacteria.
It is arguably this oddity, I'd say, of evolutionary biology, where this bacterium infects insects, and it had been studied for a long time because of the reproductive manipulations it induces in insects. It had been known to do things like feminize insect populations or kill male offspring.
I asked Professor Newton why her team targeted this bacteria for study.
In 2008, it was discovered that the bacterium also protects insects from RNA viruses.
An RNA virus is a virus with ribonucleic acid in its genetic makeup. There are actually several viruses that have shown to be affected by Wolbachia: dengue fever, Zika virus,
flockhouse virus, norovirus, West Nile virus, chikungunya virus, yellow fever, blue tongue, lacrosse, and now in our study, Synbis virus, which is an alpha virus.
Newton and her team used the Synbis virus in their study instead of Zika or another virus because scientists already know a lot about Synbis.
Synbis virus is a good tool to use in the lab because we know a lot about it, and we have a lot of tools to let us kind of really do a fine-scale analysis of what's happening in the system. Synbis virus provides us with flexibility and ability to manipulate it, so we can ask really precise questions about how Synbis interacts with Wolbachia. It's also a human pathogen, and it's transmitted by mosquitoes.
As for Wolbachia, it inhibits transmission of RNA viruses over other types of viruses.
So we wanted to really get at the mechanism of it, because if you are using Wolbachia to control disease vectors, it's really important to know how it's acting, because that will let you know where it's going to be most effective and also how quickly viruses are going to adapt to it. So we started this project to try to investigate the mechanism by using Synbis, so we can basically tag different parts of the virus and see where Wolbachia stops its replication by looking for the presence or absence of those tags.
Newton said her team developed two models to study, one a group of fruit flies infected with Wolbachia, and
we also have a cell culture line. So this is basically mosquito cells that are growing in a dish infected with Wolbachia. So in both of those models, we found that Wolbachia infection prevented the replication of Synbis virus very early during infection.
Newton goes on to explain how the Wolbachia bacteria affects a gene that influences the transmission of the Synbis virus.
So what we noticed was that the Wolbachia infection did block the replication of this virus. And we did that, I said, by looking at these tags at different parts of the virus genome so we can know if the virus is producing enough of the RNA or enough protein as part of the infection. And so we noticed that there was really limited amount of the first stages of genome replication, so suggesting that Wolbachia was actually inhibiting very early during infection. And that the particles that were being produced, so the virus that was kind of budding off of these infected cells, was much less infectious. So even if the infection produced particles, they couldn't go on to infect very well. So that gets us as just the phenotype of what happens. How is Wolbachia doing this in terms of characterizing the phenotype of the infection? But exactly how Wolbachia induces this block was revealed by another observation, and that is that when you have a Wolbachia infection in these insects, they upregulate the expression of a particular gene. So all genes in the genome that go on to produce proteins, all of those genes, the host organism makes RNA from them, and that RNA is translated into protein. And so we looked at the levels of RNA expression in the host, and we saw this huge amount of increase in the expression of this one gene when Wolbachia was there compared to when Wolbachia wasn't. And that gene is this methyltransferase. So that was one clue that this methyltransferase might be important. The second clue is that when we infected the flies with a Synbis virus, that increase in methyltransferase expression went back down. So it was like the virus was pulling this gene in one direction and Wolbachia was pulling it in another direction. So we went after this particular gene, and we had, as part of this toolkit, we had flies that lacked the gene entirely. And the hypothesis is if this gene is important then for Wolbachia to protect against viruses. Now, when you have a Wolbachia-infected mutant, it should not protect against viruses. And indeed, that's what we found. We found that this gene is necessary for pathogen blocking. In fact, the specific phenotype that we observed, where you saw less RNA replication early during infection, that was dependent on the presence of this gene. And then we also did the converse. We increased the expression of this gene without Wolbachia there, and we saw that by itself, it could promote protection of the host and so limit virus replication.
What's the next step in using these findings to help inhibit the progression of diseases like Zika?
So I told you, there's this gene. It seems to be important for pathogen blocking. But how does Wolbachia increase expression of this gene? We don't know yet, and so we're really interested in finding out how. And the reason that's important is because Wolbachia is not just one bacterium. It exists as a huge number of different strains, and each of these strains blocks pathogens to a greater or a lesser extent. And if we're going to be able to use Wolbachia as a general tool to inhibit virus replications, it would be nice to know how Wolbachia does it so we could pick the right strains to introduce into mosquitoes. The other thing that's interesting that comes out of this is that this is more evidence that this gene, methyltransferase, is important for Symbis virus replication. So you might have some hypotheses based on the gene alone as to how it might inhibit virus replication, and we're actively following that up now.
With global warming, the World Health Organization and the Centers for Disease Control are warning of the potential for Zika, West Nile, and other viruses to spread into areas of the United States that had not previously known them. As of last year, Florida and Texas both had documented cases of Zika infections in humans transmitted by mosquito. This spring, mosquitoes infected with Wolbachia were released in the Florida Keys in an attempt to halt the spread of Zika, dengue fever, and chikungunya. I asked Newton if she had any concerns about this strategy.
I fully approve of new methods of vector control because these viruses, there's no vaccine for them. There are limited ways of treating symptoms that people get from having these viruses, and the mortality burden is really high. So I approve of ways of trying to get around controlling the mosquito without using, for example, chemical pesticides. That said, when you release something in the environment like a modified insect, then you can't control it. You don't control its evolution. You don't control its spread. So I think it's important to know the mechanism of pathogen blocking so that we can better understand how over generations and generations this population is going to evolve. Although we know in laboratory trials that mosquitoes infected with this Wolbachia bacterium limit the transmission of many important human pathogens, we don't know what else they might interact with in the environment. Will these be better vectors for other emerging arboviruses? Nobody could say because not everything's been tested. It's also true that other researchers have shown situations where different mosquito species infected with different Wolbachias actually promote the replication of certain pathogens. So it's important to be cautious. We in the Wolbachia community are super excited that our obscure, random reproductive parasite is now medically relevant. But the truth is that we had no idea this research would go in this direction when we started working on this organism. And science works that way. You just kind of stumble upon characterizations and discoveries based on your curiosity, ingenuity, and, it's hard to say where the next major discoveries that will have huge impacts on human health will come from.
Reporting for WFHB, I'm Sarah Vaughn.